We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, everybody, it's Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast. And before we hit you up with episode 33, enjoy a quick word from That's Good Sports.
Hello, I'm Brandon Perna, host of That's Good Sports, a 10-minute-ish daily NFL comedy podcast. Have you ever wished for a crappy version of The Daily Show, but only about the NFL? Then, first and foremost, I implore you to dream much bigger. Secondly, I would recommend subscribing to That's Good Sports. Every weekday, I will be giving you NFL news, telling questionable jokes, and swearing just enough so you won't ever be able to listen with your kids in the room or car. I don't ask for a lot, but if you don't subscribe on iTunes, my wife said she will leave me. Thanks, and I look forward to putting my voice in your ear holes.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Command Center podcast, home of the biggest edge in Dynasty Fantasy Football. My name is Travis May and I am the Devy Coordinator at RotoViz, and I am joined by Curtis Patrick, who is the Dynasty Coordinator at RotoViz, and we are pumped to talk about some football this week. We're going to be talking about, we're thinking about an idea for just a topic this week, and we actually settled with we need to talk. That's the topic, by the way. We need to talk because we started off talking about some sells, and then we were just like, well, we kind of want to talk about some other players. It's going to be some different takes on some very different levels of players this week, but definitely some situations like the Cowboys, like some confusing tight ends, like some running backs that might be worth holding on to, but we'll get into that. But before we do, Curtis, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I've got a busy night. I'm going to try to hit up the Dynasty rankings, the Devy rankings, the premium email. I got a couple articles to do. We're recording two pods tonight.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I mean,
that's not enough going on.
It's the mid-season grind. I mean, we're not even to the quarter pole yet, but the season feels very, very real. I've got a glass of, you know, one of my favorites right here, Russell's Reserve 10. Just makes me think about Tyler Lockett, you know, used to be Russell's Reserve, and, you know, now he's starting, and, you know, he's just aged like this fine vintage bourbon here. So, I mean, yeah, it's all good, man. Hey, before we dive into a couple of these first players, I just want to remind all the listeners, if you're going to play DFS this week, you got to play over at Yahoo. And you got to check out the $400,000 baller this week. It's a $50,000 prize to first place. 150 max entries. Of course, Yahoo has just a really unique platform for their cash games and head-to-heads where you can have a quick match. Just really liking that format. I produce some content over at rotoviz.com specifically for the Yahoo DFS games and to take advantage of their pricing. So you can check that out. But yeah, the $400,000 baller, that's where you want to throw those dimes this week.
Nice, nice. Yeah, speaking of mid-season stuff going on, I after this show, I've got to hop on and do some DFS work myself. I've been working on a college football DFS model, which has been a lot of fun, but can't wait to dive into that and spend hours this evening. But before I do that, we need to talk about the Cowboys, specifically Dak Prescott, maybe even a little bit of Amari. Just because I was digging into that offense and just like what's making them tick right now, because they're 3-0, they seem to be incredibly efficient. Like, what's different about Dak? What's different about Amari? What's different about is it Zeke? Is it the magic of late game Tony Pollard? And then I really just found that, man, Dak is performing at an unreasonably efficient level right now. Like, so far he's got 3 quarterback 1 weeks in a row, all over 25 kind of standard fantasy points. And for his career, about 25, hitting that threshold of 25%, 25 points or more, he hits that about 1/3 of the time throughout his career. So it's kind of crazy to see how efficient he's been. He's 19th in pass attempts right now, but he's first in completion percentage and second in fantasy points over expectation per game. So my question for you, Curtis, is this sustainable for Dak and the Cowboys moving forward?
It's definitely sustainable for probably up to half the season. I mean, the Cowboys have just an amazing strength of schedule when you look at their opponents and their passing defenses. And it unfortunately comes to a grinding halt, just a grinding halt in fantasy crunch time. Listen to Dak's opponents starting in week 10, man. This is insane. Minnesota. Then he gets Detroit, which is going to be pretty neutral. Then he gets New England, Buffalo, Chicago, and the Los Angeles Rams. Finally, he'll be vindicated by a Week 16 title week matchup with the Eagles. But, you know, if you have any depth at quarterback and single QB, you're not going to be using Dak really probably starting in that New England week. And super flex, you're going to keep playing him, but you can't expect this type of output. But I mean, he certainly could help you get out to those 6-2, 7-1, 8-0 starts if he keeps this up. And I mean, to your point, the efficiency is insane. I mean, this is like Aaron Rodgers, like prime level efficiency. When you think about the actual, you know, opportunities being given, only 19th in the NFL in attempts, 12th in completions. And you would think maybe that, okay, well, he's up here at QB4 because of rushing. Well, it's not even because of rushing. I mean, in game two, he had 69 yards rushing, but you know, beyond that, week one, 12 yards, week three, 7 yards, only 1 rushing touchdown. It's been the passing touchdowns and that huge 400 yard outburst in week one. And of course he's limiting the interceptions, which he's always been pretty good at doing, but it's just this battery between him and Amari. If dating back, you know, to week 6 of 2018, which I think predates Amari maybe by a week or two. No, I think that might have been Amari's first week was week 6. I don't know if you have that handy to pull up, but starting with Jacksonville, week 6, 2018, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 QB1 performances and then 3 QB2s and then 1 just falling outside. I mean, he's basically been automatic ever since, you know, the middle of 2018. So, I guess that's a roundabout way of saying, you know, do I think he can stay at QB4 all season? Probably not. I think the back half of the season hurts him. But man, if the Cowboys sign Amari long term and they decide to put this team a little bit more on Dak's shoulders and split the load between Zeke and Tony Pollard, who's showing the receiving chops. Yeah. I mean, I think Dak's long term prospects, you know, the arrow could be up. You know, he's basically been an underappreciated, underrated fantasy quarterback for the duration of his career. And now he's doing it on his arm. I mean, imagine if he puts the rushing back in at this point. So, it's like, I guess I'm selling QB4, but I don't know. I don't know how much lower I'd really feel comfortable bumping him after this start he's going to get off to. I mean, I'm probably still buying him, you know, clearly as a top 10, you know, quarterback right now, and probably top 8.
Yeah. And that makes sense, I think, for this season, especially at midseason. I hate to kind of roll into the playoffs with a nasty schedule like he has, though. And with quarterbacks, even in Superflex leagues, I like to, if I can, reposition myself for the playoff run. Even midseason in Dynasty, I'm trying to just play the matchups and plan ahead. And if you see something shaping up like that, I look to pivot, especially when it's somebody that is right now probably not selling at QB4 prices in Dynasty, but is most definitely selling as like a, you know, quarterback 8, quarterback 7 type range player. If I think he's more of like a quarterback 11 and 12 long term, I'm okay selling him at the QB8, QB9, QB10 type price if I want to reposition myself to make a run at the championship. So yeah, I think that really my idea for maybe potentially thinking of selling Dak was, you know, the schedule, the outlook long term. But man, Amari looks like he's on the same page with Dak in a major way, and because of that, Amari is also kind of now this, well, probably not anymore, but he's kind of like this bounce back candidate. You know, his value dropped off the face of the planet after his down season with the Raiders. He goes to the Cowboys, and down the stretch, he's a wide receiver 1. This year, he's already wide receiver 1. So for me, he's kind of catapulted himself back into the wide receiver 1 conversation, top-end wide receiver 1 conversation. I mean, he's wide receiver, 4 or so right now. I don't see how by the end of this season, especially like you said, with this mid-season hot streak that they're probably going to see, I don't see how Amari's not like a top 5 dynasty wide receiver after people kind of take a moment and realize, oh, this is his fourth 1,000 plus yard season, and he's now just the absolute bay of his quarterback. So I just feel like he's going to be somebody that, I bought a long time ago, but even now might be still a good buy target just because of where his ceiling's probably going to go. Are you trying to acquire Amari, or is that just long since gone? There's the windows closed.
Yeah, I don't think buying Amari right now is probably too wise. I mean, he scored 4 touchdowns in 3 weeks, and I think, you know, I don't think that there's a great time to buy him for the rest of the year.
No.
And it's, you know, it just kind of what Amari is doing this year, you know, it's the same boat. He's 34th in targets, 4th in PPR positional ranking, and his expected fantasy points per game are just 38th. It's just that he's been so incredibly efficient because of the touchdowns. You know, let's look at some of his games here. He had 6 for 106 and a touchdown on 9 targets in week 1, 4 for 44 and a touch on 5 targets in week 2. And then he scored the 2 touchdowns early in the Dolphins game. You know, I think the danger here is that I'm not sure he can get elite volume. I think the touchdowns have to keep up. I mean, Dallas is – now, we could talk about their strength of schedule the first 3 games. I mean, the Giants, the Skins, and the Dolphins, you know, that's hardly a formidable lineup. But he's had – I mean, Amari specifically has had a great track record of success against the Saints, averaging over 106 yards a game for his career in matchups with New Orleans. And then in his one matchup with Green Bay, it's been several years ago, just torched him for 120 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, I think he's going to stay hot for the next couple weeks. So, I mean, I guess if you want to buy him today because you think he's going to go even higher in 2 weeks, that's fine. But, I mean, I think you'd probably have to give up a player like in the Michael Thomas range to be able to move for him.
Adams.
Yeah, and are you really prepared to do that? You know, probably not. So, Amari firmly a dynasty wide receiver 1. You know, we had that position this summer, and I think he's proving it. Would like to see a little bit more volume to make this sustainable, but I think the big thing you and I would both be hoping for is let's just make sure the Cowboys marry these two guys together for the long haul. It'd be really fun. and preserve amazing. What they're both doing for the long haul, for sure. So, hey, man, I gotta pitch it to you for a word from a sponsor.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. You know, I don't know if you do actually, Curtis, but I do use Harry's razors. And I didn't until I heard it on another podcast. But if you have heard of Harry's on another podcast or not at all, you should definitely visit their website. You can check out all of the different shave sets and face care products. You can join the 10 million who've tried Harry's. Claim your special offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. And why try Harry's? Because Harry's founders were two regular guys tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced razors. You see, Harry's makes quality, durable blades at a fair price. It's just $2 per blade. And if you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. You see, this summer you can refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. It comes with a weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners of this show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/bluewire, and make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show.
I do. You wouldn't know it by looking at me right now, but I still have to trim the edges of this beard. I got to keep the cheekbones tight. I do have a Harry's handle. And actually, my 8-year-old son has his own Harry's blade. I bought the father-son shaving set for Father's Day a couple years ago. And we have fun. Nice. With the little one shaving in his razorless kit there. So yeah, check that out too. Great gift set. Let's talk about some guys a little further down the dynasty rankings. And let's start with DJ Chark.
A little bit.
Yeah, DJ Chark, man.
just a little further down than Amari.
Yeah, he's further down, but yeah, DJ Chark, man, Gardner Minshew has just really helped get this guy off to a red-hot start in year two. Former second-round pick, you know, kind of straight-line speed and athleticism guy. And, you know, as a rookie, we were a little confused on what it would mean for him in terms of early opportunity in the Jaguars' depth chart. Marquise Lee wasn't hurt yet at that point. We had D.D. Westbrook, who had flashed years earlier. And, I just don't know that we expected him to get a real shot early. And then this offseason, the team brings in Chris Conley, who in some ways has a little bit of skill overlap there. But Chark, man, really impressive. What do you have on him?
Yes, I mean, dating back to his college, he was just a big playmaker. I mean, LSU until this season really has never really loved to send a bunch of targets their way, the wide receivers' way. And for whatever reason, they always have really good wide receivers in college and they waste them and then they go to the pros and dominate. I mean, if you look at, I mean, just a couple guys and Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, now DJ Chark finding some success. And really since 2014, LSU's actually been the wide receiver university, providing us with the most fantasy points from any school in the entire country at the wide receiver position. So I'm not surprised that DJ Chark hit with draft capital with the elite speed that he had and his final season averaging almost 22 yards per reception. So now being a big play threat already, his first game of the year averaging 37 yards per reception, blowing up for, you know, 146 yards and a score. That's probably obviously that was not going to be sustainable. Four targets, four catches, 150 yards. That's not going to happen. But the, you know, the next two games where he saw 9 targets, 5 targets, obviously not feature wide receiver target levels, but he's being efficient with his targets because he's such an amazing deep threat. So right now he's 46th in targets. So I think his wide receiver 8 or 9 or 10, depending on your format, that's probably not going to sustain itself. He's second in fantasy points over expectation right now. So that should probably come down to earth a little bit. But if he averages, you know, 6-7 targets per game, ends up with 100 targets on the year, is a flex, boom bust flex type play that can kind of win you a week here and there, that's fantastic. For what you invested, probably because you probably bought him for an early third round rookie pick in most cases. That was where he was going in a lot of my drafts, behind players like ESB. And I think in one league he went behind Deion Kane and John Kelly. And it was just hilarious how late he was going. So if I've been holding on to DJ Chark to this point, I'm okay selling. If I can sell him to somebody as a real wide receiver too, or even like a consistent flex value, I'm okay moving off him for some future assets, especially if I'm not competing right now. But at the same time, he could provide that boom bust kind of almost best ball type feel, and I think there's some value to that. So are you looking to move off of Chark, or are you looking to just kind of enjoy the points while they last?
Well, let me answer that question with a couple questions of my own, Travis. Hey, who ranks first among wide receivers in the NFL in fantasy points over expectation?
First?
It's DJ Chark. First.
Okay, see, I thought first. It was second.
Man. Okay. No, he's first, according to the RotoViz NFL Statics Board.
Wow. Okay.
And, you know, he actually ranks 26th at the position in air yards per target. But to your point, I mean, we need more raw opportunity. We need more targets pushed his way. You know, some of this production has certainly been bolstered by, you know, three straight games with a touchdown. And, yeah. You know, I don't think I'll take the under on DJ Chark scoring 16 touchdowns this year, obviously. But, you know, it just going back to his college profile just a little bit. I mean, 65th percentile breakout age, you know, at age 20 on the dot. It's college yards per reception, 96th percentile, almost 22 yards per reception for his career, a 4.34 40.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, talking a guy, you know, well above the 95th percentile in terms of his speed. So, you know, I can buy him being, you know, viable as a flex. I mean, I'm with you that I would sell him if anyone was offering me wide receiver 2 value, but outside of like, you know, super Jaguars fanboy, and I don't think we're getting those offers. So I think the way to sell Chark, you know, if you can package him up with another similar player and go after one of these struggling elites, you know, put in that's Chark with a first, put in Chark with, you know, I don't know, give me somebody else that's overperforming, you know, earlier this year. You know, even putting Chark with, you know,
Terry McLaurin, your boy. Or if you want to hold on to him, how about MVS for the Packers?
Oh, Chark and MVS. Chark and MVS. I mean, you know, maybe you could add something to that to a desperate guy who doesn't know he should be tanking and get after a Davante Adams. You know, if you can get first round value on Chark and MVS in that package, that might be something to do. Or even packaging him with somebody like Amari. If we don't think Amari can keep this production up, you know, moving forward because of his relative lack of volume, trying to get up into that OBJ tier, you know, with a guy like Chark as part of that package. I think that's probably the way to do it. You try to give him to somebody who's wanting a little bit more out of one of their studs. But, yeah, I would agree. I don't think Gardner Minshew is going to end the year as, you know, a top 10 quarterback. And as a result, you know, some of these guys are going to fall off. So, but I mean, just in general, it's certainly encouraging for Chark. And, you know, if he were to break in, you know, to the top 30, even I think in targets, this type of player could be really, really valuable, you know, as a threat to score on basically any target moving forward. So another guy who's a threat to score anytime he touches the ball, Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry is running back 6 in PPR year to date. Where are you with Derrick Henry? I know you're the resident Titans expert.
Oh man. I think this player was the inspiration for the title of We Need to Talk. Man, the Titans are just frustrating as a fan, as a fantasy owner, especially if you had high hopes for like Corey Davis or any wide receiver type option, you know, besides maybe, you know, Delaney at tight end. And obviously Derrick Henry looks like he's the real deal, but he's been kind of trending downwards and he cannot catch passes. He's not really given many targets anyway, but he had a horrible drop that he could have taken for a touchdown this past week. And that one play that he dropped could have actually given him his third consecutive running back 1 week. So the potential's there. The touches, the overall opportunities are there. It looks like he's a top 10 running back in terms of overall opportunity. The Titans are going to keep feeding him, regardless of whether he can actually catch the ball and do anything through the air. That remains to be seen still, almost through his rookie contract. He's not really developed in that regard. You like to see your future backs catch some passes. You like them to be more consistent. But I think with the Titans' identity, it really boils down to they want to dominate the trenches. They want to win on the ground and throw when they have to. And so if that's the case and Derrick Henry's the guy, then it's kind of hard to fade him. And because of the running backs ahead of him, there's really just only a couple options that you are, maybe three options, and like Cook, Kamara, and McCaffrey that are just, you know, the surefire studs, maybe a couple other guys. But after that, it's like Derrick Henry's just going to by default be a running back 1 after the season. So for me, he's hold now because he's going to get the touches. He's going to be a running back 1 by default. But I think
as the season progresses, if you're not in position to win your championship right now, he's an absolute sell probably 3 or 4 weeks from now for me. Are you right there, Curtis?
I don't really think I would sell Derrick Henry right now, because running back is so unsettled, and he is one of the guys that's producing, and he's getting the opportunities. I mean, if I would have told you before the year that he was going to pace for something like 40 targets, I mean, you would have taken that all day long. I mean, his career previous career high was 18 targets in 2018.
He's going to catch four of them.
He is getting... Yeah, I mean, his catch percentage isn't where it was quite. You know, he only failed to haul in 3 of his 18 targets last year, and you know he's already matched that through 3 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
But even though he's only getting 2 or 3 targets a week, that actually is like double what he got last year. So the team has made good on that, getting him a little bit more involved. He's going to easily set a career high in rushing attempts. He has a rushing touchdown in all 3 games this year. And, you know, Joe Mixon has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley is going to be out for half the season. Devontae Freeman has been a flop. I mean, a lot of the guys that, Sony Michel has been, I feel bad for you, Sony Michel owners. I mean, it's just, there's who are you going to trade him for unless you're pivoting off of running back? And at some point, we have to start some running backs in our lineups. I mean, and unless you're in one of these leagues that's like, you know, super flex and then everything else is just a flex, you know, which I've seen some of those leagues out there. Most leagues require you to start at least one running back. I mean, Derrick Henry, I will be very surprised if he's not a top 10 running back. And I would probably put him somewhere, around running back 7 or 8 if the team doesn't change his usage, between now and the end of the year. I think he's the hands down favorite to lead the league in rushing touchdowns, right? I just don't see what's going to change. I mean, unless the Titans, they're 1-2, if they decide to just, scrap this whole thing and see what they've got with some other players. But I don't really see that. I feel like that coaching staff needs to win right now. They got a new OC who's going to want to prove that he can do it. This isn't a team that's going to want to throw in the towel. I already see the press conferences with Delanie Walker frustrated, wanting to galvanize the guys and bring them back together. So I don't think I actually would sell Derrick Henry unless somebody like forced me off of him with the offer.
And that's fair. And again, for me, it's not really a sell now. It's just like knowing where he's probably going to go. His trajectory is going to be fine. He's going to keep scoring. And for me, that's when, given that he's still not been given an extension and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year, a lot can change for the guy moving forward. And in Dynasty, I'm okay betting on him, his value decreasing after maybe 3-4 more weeks. So I'm just looking here soon. I'm just monitoring Derrick Henry, because if he's on my roster, I'm not taking him out of my starting lineup. He's definitely starting every week that he's on my team. I'm just monitoring what his value is here moving forward, just because I know that I'm not sure he's going to score a touchdown every week, and I'm not sure he's ever going to figure out how to be a consistent contributor in the passing game. I know his targets are upticking, but I still don't believe it's going to be a long-term solution there. And the Titans are actually in position to move off of several key offensive options and even a couple of defensive players at the end of this season. So they could try to really pivot significantly if they don't get the results they want to see. So I maybe I'm just skeptical just because I'm frustrated with the team, but that's just kind of where I am with.
Yeah.
I
think it's fair to say, he is what he is at this point. I think the dream of him somehow becoming, a 60 or 70 target back, and that he was going to show up as a totally different player in that facet of the game, I think that ship has sailed. But we saw, maybe a similar situation would have been, 2017, 2018 Jordan Howard, when he was able to somehow find his way to like 30 receptions and be a running back 1. I think that's range of possible outcomes here, for Henry with the way he's being used, plus the touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, he's not rising to Kamara levels or to Zeke levels or even probably to Nick Chubb levels. But, I mean, given the running back landscape, he's about as solid of an investment as you can have outside of the elite if you're competing this year.
Yeah, no, yeah, and I agree. I think we're really, really close on the same page there. But at the end of a hard week, this week sounds crazy for you, Curtis, and kind of crazy for me. And at the end of this week, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to take some time off, and I'm going to watch some football. And game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, I mean, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. And so you can just do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. And no one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. And don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play. And I was actually just talking to some local sports guys here in Nashville this week. And I was like, hey, is there any other option you guys prefer? And they actually play there too. And that's where you should as well. And I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. I mean, you can just do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. And if you're kind of the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Yes, double it. And you can just use the promo code BLUEWIRE to activate the offer. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. You can visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Okay, let's wrap this episode up with talking about a pair of tight ends that have really been, well, one of them might be the talk of the season, and another could be the talk of the next quarter of the season. The first, Darren Waller. And Darren Waller not only has picked up where Jared Cook left off last year, he's really taken this thing in Oakland to new heights. He's tight end PPR, or PPR tight end three through three games, and he has really been Derek Carr's preferred target in the short area of the field. I could not believe this. I'm looking at the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer, Travis, and I'm looking at the bypass location breakdown. Okay, he's been targeted 22 times across the left, middle, right, doesn't matter which segment of the field here. Under 10 yards, he's been targeted 22 times. He's caught all 22 targets. 22 out of 100% completion rating to Darren Waller in the short area of the field. 100% catch rate. And I mean, that's the type of thing that is very sustainable the rest of the year, given how the Raiders offense is playing and having to adjust to not having Antonio Brown around and all the attention that Tyrell Williams is getting on the outside. I mean, Waller still gets those preferred matchups on the inside or in the slot. So Darren Waller, very much, I don't think anyone's going to make an argument that he's not here to stay. I mean, third in targets at the position, you know, he's just getting pummeled with volume. So I think the real question is do you believe in this player for Dynasty? Because this is an age 27 breakout, and he's just had such a up and down start to his career until this point, basically been all potential with no payoff. So do you believe in Waller? Are you willing to rank him as a mid tight end one yet?
These days, I mean, mid tight end one, it's almost not super difficult to get to that point, just because it's such a mess at the position outside the top elite options. There's a couple of new faces joining the ranks in that conversation, but I think I don't really care as much with these tight end breakouts being a little bit later. We've seen that in recent years with a couple other big names that haven't all the way broken out, but Darren Waller's done almost nothing to this point in his career, which is a little concerning. But he's not exactly your typical tight end prospect. Like, if you look back to, you know, his college days, I mean, he was kind of a wide receiver, and I say kind of a wide receiver because he played for Georgia Tech, and they don't have any real wide receivers. They just kind of have a bunch of kind of wide receivers. And when he tested as a major plus athlete at the combine, I had to give him a second look because he didn't have much production in college, but he ran a 4.46 at the combine, had a crazy vertical, almost 40 inches. So he had some crazy, I mean, even his agility score was pretty solid for a tight end. So athletically speaking, he looked the part, 6'6", 240-ish pounds. He looked like he could really do something, do some damage if given the opportunity. And he's never really been given the opportunity. And so now that he has it and he's been given some time to develop his game, develop into a real tight end, because he never really was that in college, he's finally figuring out, he's finally putting it all together. Now he has the opportunity, and he hasn't even scored a touchdown yet this season with this opportunity, and he's still been a tight end one every single week. So I think when he starts scoring those touchdowns, he's going to dominate even more so. So I don't see a way that he doesn't finish as a top five tight end this season. And that's probably going to thrust him into a ridiculous conversation where he's probably inside that top five, six range by season's end. And he's already top 10 locked right now for me.
Yeah, 30% team target market share through 3 weeks, ranks first among all tight ends with that. So I think he's in a group where you start, you know, the tier that starts at tight end six. You know, last week we talked and we moved Mark Andrews to tight end five together. And starting at tight end six, I think, is where he can enter the discussion. I'd like to see a little bit more from not from him, but maybe from some other guys. Can OJ Howard find his way to you know, any production this year? Can TJ Hawkinson have another solid week? You know, he started off with basically a historic performance in week one. Can he start to be more productive as the year goes on? Is Austin Hooper going to be consistent? Because this is a guy that just kind of steadily and slowly climbing up as a producer that's maybe not super flashy, but it's just getting the job done. And beyond that, I mean, it's just gross.
Yeah.
You know, Trey Burton's a nothing. Vance McDonald is hurt again. Dallas Goedert's getting no opportunity. Hunter Henry, of course, not getting his fair shake of even being able to get on the field. David Njoku now on IR. Yeah. So like you said, you know, it's not a very high bar to set. A guy that's not in the top six conversation, but just had his situation completely change, is Will Dissly. And I'm very guilty in 2018 of not, you know, not really being on this guy, you know, whatsoever. It was kind of a huge eyebrow raiser when he was even drafted. And then, you know, he had the couple games where he, you know, he scored, and a lot of people were asking me, like in Dynasty Command Center and Twitter, you know, is he even worth, you know, stashing? And my answer was basically across the board, no. Well, we got to fast forward now, 3 weeks into 2019. He's played seven games in his career. He's only made seven appearances, Travis. And if he gets five targets, so four out of those seven games, he's received five targets. Every time he's gotten five targets, he scored at least one touchdown. So, kinda, I mean, basically, yeah. If he's been involved, yeah, it's wild. If he's been involved, he's been productive. And the team just traded away Nick Vinette. Somehow got a fifth-round pick. I mean, good on them. I like Nick Vinette, but, you know, that was highway robbery at this point for what Vinette's been in his career to this point. They traded Vinette away to the Steelers as a replacement or a patchwork solution for Vance McDonald. And this is Disley's show now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good on you if you picked Disley up early and were aggressive on your waivers, or if you had been stashing him since last year in your deeper league team. But man, I mean, five touchdowns and seven career appearances, you know, we've seen tight ends be really, you know, effective like that before. I mean, maybe he can be like a baby Ebron this year, with Russell Wilson, who, by the way, is having, you know, maybe the most fantastic start ever in his career. Anything you can tell the listeners about Disley, Travis? I mean, I really was not on this guy at all coming out of college.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of one of those guys that in NFL draft conversations, I kept on hearing his name and thinking, man, are you serious? Why is he even really considered here? I mean, he started as a defensive lineman, a really super unproductive defensive lineman for Washington. And they were like, well, maybe you can do the tight end thing. And he actually was okay, but not great. So I think what probably intrigued the Seahawks was their run-first team that saw a guy that could – a huge body, decent athleticism, decent run blocker right out of the gate. And so they spent some capital on him. And it just so happens that he could also catch the ball in those games where he saw at least five targets. I mean, he averaged like 65 yards receiving as well. So This is a player that I think a lot of people were sleeping on just because of his, again, just atypical route to fame and glory in the NFL. Just somebody who switched positions again and just was a stud at the tight end position. And I think he can develop into that. I don't have him ranked very high still, but I definitely like his opportunity this year. And if he hits that maybe 9 touchdown mark, I think he's going to fly up rankings. He's going to be in that back end tight end 1 range. And that's probably not going to surprise anyone if they look at what he's already done. But I it's kind of hard to say back end tight end 1 and not get screamed at by someone. But he's not there yet. He's not there yet. But I think if he continues on this track, there's no way he's not.
While you were doing that, I was looking up his yards after catch per reception in the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer, and he's ranked 51st at the position this year at 2.8 yards after catch per reception. The reason I was looking that up is because Will Dissly ran a 4.87, 28th percentile 40, with a second percentile burst score.
Okay,
this guy couldn't he could not jump over his cat.
Look, okay? Man, he was literally a defensive lineman.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's going to have to maintain his 23.1% target market share in the red zone for this to continue at the level that it's at, because he's not adding anything on his own. I mean, he's received 14% of the Seahawks targets year to date, which is 12th overall at the position, and that's fine. But his yak is, I just don't think he'll ever be able to add much in that category because of his challenges in the athleticism department. So if he stays a target in the red zone, sure. But in weeks where he doesn't score a touchdown, you know, I think he's very much, you know, a replaceable tight end producer. So I'm still not.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Like I'm very much on team Will Dissly is usable right now, clearly. Very much on that team. I need to see more, especially now that, you know, he knows he's the guy because that big scary Nick Vinette's out of the way. So can he deal with the pressure of being the man in the tight end room? We will find out. But that's all we've got for today on We Need to Talk, all over the board. On these rankings. Bring us home, Travis.
Thanks for joining us again for another Dynasty Command Center podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. If you want to tell me how bad my takes were, if you want to tell Curtis the same, that's fine. You can find him at @CPatrickNFL. We're always happy to talk some football. And if you want to just hop in our premium Slack chat, you can do that too. It's just a great community. I'm loving more every single week for the Dynasty Command Center, that is. So check that out at dynastycommandcenter.com. But until next time, keep living that Dynasty life.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers.
the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.